The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruits. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I command? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, who listens to my words, and who acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the river burst against that house but could not shake it because it had been built well. But the one who listens and does not act, it's like a person who has built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, it collapsed at once and was completely destroyed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel, Jesus gets to the end of the Sermon on the Plain, in which he has been instructing us about how we Christians are supposed to live, who we are, and what flows from our dignity. And he summarized with two images. First image is that we're supposed to bear good fruit based on what he has taught us. That if we place our roots in the words that he has given us, suck our nourishment from him, in the words that he proclaims, then we'll bear fruit as naturally as a fig tree bears figs in due season. But we're not going to bear that good fruit if we're not rooted in him. Because you don't bear figs from a bramble bush. We've got to be grounded in him. It's not so much that we focus on the fruit, it's that we focus on the tree and the roots. And when we do, and when we're truly allowing Jesus' sap to flow within us, we will be fruitful in this world and forever. But if we don't think that we need to ground ourselves totally in the Lord, then we're not going to bear that fruit. Everybody else perhaps might like us. Everybody else might be faked out by us that we're good Christians. But we're not doing what the Lord himself is asking of us. The second image is even stronger. It's of building a house, building the foundation of our entire life and all that we build over the course of our life, either on rock or on the ground, on the sand. I've explained before that there in the Holy Land, there were sort of mountain ranges. And the valleys there were all full of the sandy sediment that would flow down when the rains would come. And in most of the year, when there wasn't any rain, that would seem nice and flat. It would be a place you could build a house pretty quickly. You wouldn't have to go through all the hard work of trying to build a house, not just on a concrete foundation, which of course didn't exist, but on rocks, which were all over the place and would require a lot of artisanship. When you wanted to go cheap, when you wanted to go fast, when you wanted to cut corners, you would build on the sand. But then when the rains would eventually come, they'd start flowing down the mountain. And like we can see with any sort of gully in a big storm, all the water start to come there and it becomes like a river and it'll destroy the house because it wasn't built firmly. Jesus is calling us to build ourselves firmly on the rock of his word. And he says we will be wise if we do it. Because even when the storms come and blow and buffet against that house, we will be safe. Today we celebrate the feast of St. John Chrysostom, one of the greatest of the early saints, doctor of the church. He was a tremendous preacher. Even though he came from Antioch, which was one of the five principal churches, the folks in Constantinople, modern-day Istanbul, wanted him to be a bishop, wanted him to be their leader. He was the famous deacon preaching for the bishop there in Antioch, and they were able to get him. So he was transferred over there, but that's where the emperor and the empress was. That's where there was tremendous spiritual worldliness, where everybody else had this sort of nice little bargain that they could all pretend to be Christians, but not really live it, and live high on the hog and live in a vicious way, like sometimes happens around royal courts or around places like Washington, D.C. And so John Chrysostom, with all the gifts that God had given him, preached ferociously. The Empress couldn't stand the fact that he was in calling people to conversion, also calling her to conversion. She took some of the things personally, and she wasn't going to forget it. So three separate times she had John exiled. He died in exile eventually. But on one of those occasions, when it was known that he was being banished, before he left, he got up and he gave one of his fiery sermons. And it showed what happens when we build our life on the rock. I want to share with you a little bit of what St. John Chrysostom says, because not only does it give us a window into him, but a window into the truly Christian life. He said, "The waters have risen. Severe storms are pounding down upon us. But we don't fear drowning, for we stand firmly upon a rock. Let the sea rage. It can't break the rock. Let the waves rise. They can't sink the boat of Jesus. What are we to fear? Death? Life to me means Christ, and death is gain," St. Paul tells us. "Exile. The earth in its fullness belong to the Lord," we read in the psalm. "The confiscation of our goods? We brought nothing into this world, and we shall surely take nothing from it," Job tells us. "I have only contempt for the world's threats. I find its blessings laughable. I have no fear of poverty, no desire for wealth. I'm not afraid of death, nor do I long to live, except for your good. I concentrate, therefore, on my present situation. I urge you, my friends, to have confidence." In other words, don't let these emperors scare you because they're trying to exile me. He goes on. "Do you not hear what the Lord is saying? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Will he be absent then when so many people are gathered in love together here? I have his promise. I'm surely not going to rely on my own strength. I have what he has written. That's my staff, my security, my peaceful harbor. Let the world be in upheaval. I hold to the promises and read his message. That is my protecting wall and garrison." What message? "Know that I'm with you always until the end of the world. If Christ is with me, whom should I fear? Though the waves and the sea and the anger of princes are roused against me, they are less to me than a spider's web. Indeed, unless you, my brothers, had detained me, I would have left this very day. For I always say, Lord, your will be done. Not what this fellow or that would have me do, but what you want me to do. That's my strong tower. That's my immovable rock. That's my staff that never gives way. If God wants something, let it be done. If he wants me to stay here, I'm grateful. But wherever he wants me to be, I am no less grateful." That's what it means to build a life on the rock. When we really do, we're fearless. But in order to build our life on the rock, in order to bear good fruit because we're rooted in the Lord, we have to make sure we're not simultaneously rooted in something else. That's what St. Paul was describing to the Corinthians in this first reading. We already heard a few days ago about his saying, don't scandalize others by eating meat that had been sacrificed in the pagan temples. There's nothing superstitious about it, but people will be scandalized. They'll get the wrong impression of you, so you don't need to do it. There's plenty of other food to eat. But then he made it stronger. There were some Corinthians who were going into the temple precincts and having a big banquet with the pagans in their temple. You know, when somebody asks us to buy a ticket for a fundraiser for the pagan temple, and there we go in and we have that feast. That's a big scandal. And that's what Paul was saying throughout his letter to the Corinthians. If we're truly rooted in Christ, then we have to make sure we're not rooted in things that are totally opposed to Christ. And so he said, we can't have it both ways. If you're going to be a member of Christ's body, there are certain things we don't do. And that's clearly one. For many others, we could apply to the present day. But if we're in communion with Christ, we're not going to be in communion with a prostitute. We're not going to be in communion with the pagan sacrifices. We're not going to be in communion with anything unworthy of God. John Chrysostom finished that homily by talking specifically about that type of communion that's supposed to exist among individual Christians with Christ and among individual Christians. And it leads into the other thing St. Paul was saying. Where I am, please know, brothers and sisters, St. John Chrysostom says, there you are too, and where you are, I am. For we're not a single body. And the body can't be separated from the head, God, nor the head from the body. Distance may separate us, but love unites us. And death itself can't divide us. For though my body die, and he knew that eventually he'd be killed. Though my body die, my soul will live and be mindful of my people. You are my fellow citizens, my fathers, my brothers, my sons, my limbs, my body. You are my light, sweeter to me than the visible light. For what can the rays of the sun bestow on me that's comparable to your love? The sun's light is useful in my earthly life, but your love is fashioning a crown for me in the life to come. That's what St. Paul was getting at when he says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in Christ's blood? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in Christ's body? Because the loaf of bread is one, we though many are one body, for we all partake of the one same loaf. Here, we come into communion not just with Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ wants to make us one body, one spirit in each other. When the storms come in life and blow and buffet against us, the stronger our community is with each other, the more we're able to strengthen others by faith, the stronger we will be able to be, and the more fruit we will bear even in persecution. That is the great lesson God teaches us today. May we understand this lesson with the help of St. John Chrysostom and live it as fearlessly as he did. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.